prepare for the Lord's Supper tonight, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. This is the Passover season for the Jews. But we need to understand that Paul, when he was instructing the Corinthian church, and they were having a whole bunch of morality problems inside the church, he basically said that Christ is our Passover. And that's the title of my sermon tonight, Christ, our Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And in this passage it says here, "Purge out therefore the old leaven." There was a sin problem in the church. And Paul said, you need to get rid of this sin problem, because the church is supposed to be holy and pure and without spot or wrinkle or without blemish. It says that he may be a what? A new lump. Christ makes us new. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things passed away. As ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. So there's a commandment there that we're supposed to remember. And not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So tonight I want to talk about some similarities and some contrast between the Jewish observance of Passover from the Old Testament and the issue of Christ. Because the Passover in the Old Testament was a type of Christ. The commandment for the Passover was the night before, was basically the day before the Exodus, okay? Or a couple of weeks before the Exodus, when the Israelites were going to come out of bondage of Egypt. And you can find this in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, but I'm not going to read that passage, I'm just going to summarize it. First of all, Passover starts the first of the months. So it starts a new beginning. Israel was going to have a new beginning out of bondage. And it was supposed to be a Passover lamb was going to be selected on the 10th day of this first month. Now what was going to happen is it had to be a male of the first year, and it had to be without blemish. It was observed by the family until the 14th day of the month to see if there was anything incorrect or a blemish inside of this lamb. Think about this. Christ walked on earth for 3 years. People observed him. They found no fault in him. Now here's the interesting thing. In Egypt, when they did this, because this was going to be the 10th plague of the death angel, the entire congregation was supposed to do it at twilight, okay, in the evening. And then when they were being delivered from Egypt, they were supposed to take a bunch of hyssop, and they were supposed to take the blood of the lamb, and they were supposed to put the blood on the lintel, which is the top part of a door, and on the side post of the door. They were making a cross. Deliverance comes from the cross. It comes from the cross in the Old Testament. It comes from the cross in the New Testament. But people don't even realize what the cross is. Just like the Jews didn't understand what the cross represented that they were making then. But the blood running off of the doorpost and the lintel were in the same exact position that the blood would run out of the hands and head and feet of Christ. Oh, there's so many things that God does that's just ignored. Don't ignore the cross. Especially this week. Don't ignore the cross. Now, that blood had to be on the doorpost, because the death angel was going to come through that night and slay the firstborn of everything in Egypt. And it said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's where that song comes from. The death angel would pass over the blood-stained house. Folks, God looks down at us, does he see the blood of Christ on your life? So he can pass over judgment on your sin, and that judgment was put on Christ on the cross.
Amen.
But then in verse 13, it says, if you don't do this, the soul that did not participate would be cut off. If they were the firstborn, they would be dead. The family would be cut off out of the congregation. You would not be part. There would be no fellowship. There would be no fellowship in Israel with that. The result of this for the Israelites was redemption from bondage. Redemption from bondage. Well, that was the first Passover. After that, they were out in the wilderness for 40 years. There were no houses. There was no thing. But Christ or God gives direction for Passover in the post-Exodus phase. That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. And Passover was one of the feasts that all the males had to appear in Jerusalem. It says in this verse, it says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. And that eventually wound up to be the city of David, the city of Zion, which is Jerusalem. It says, and the feast of unleavened bread. Passover began the feast of the unleavened bread. In the feast of weeks and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord what? Yes. Empty. See, you can't offer up anything. You got to come to God with the provision necessary for the sacrifice. What is the result of this? Well, thousands of years before the cross, they saw the sign of the cross. Hundreds of years before Christ came to earth, everybody was going to Jerusalem. And the result is that we'll put the devout Jews at Jerusalem at Christ's crucifixion. When you think about that. So God takes all these little details and makes it all to point to Christ. Makes it all point to Christ. So we have the background in the Old Testament about the Passover. But it says here in our passage, it says Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ is God's Passover lamb. And there's three things I want us to examine here. You could actually go to Isaiah 53. It says he's as a lamb that was led to the slaughter. So he was. But here's the first one. There was the example of Abraham in Genesis 21 and 22. What was Abraham told by God to do? Take your only son, the son of promise, the son you waited for, the son that was a miracle. Take that only son, the one that was going to be the heir of Abraham and the heir of faith, and sacrifice him. Take him to Mount Moriah, and a lot of theologians said Mount Moriah was Calvary. But take him to the place that God says to go to, and sacrifice your only son. Isaac is a type of Christ. Abraham is a picture of God the Father offering his own son here. And we know the story. They go, they load up all the wood, they load up the fire. They got some rope, and they go up there, and they get to the place of sacrifice. And Isaac says, hey, we got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the lamb? As Abraham starts to tie him up and starts to raise the knife. And then he says in verse 8, he says, my son, God, will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So they had no lamb. Isaac was supposed to be it, but God intervened. And you know what they did? They found one. Who provided that? God did. Who provided Christ? God did. So we see the example of Abraham. We see the exclamation of John the Baptist a couple of weeks ago in John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which what? Taketh away the sin of the world. Taketh away the result of sin, which is death. Allows God to pass over you. Then we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, we see the explanation of Peter over about this. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. What did the first Passover do? It was redemption from bondage. What is the second Passover crisis? It's redemption from sin. It's redemption from hell. It's redemption from death. It's redemption for being separated from God and brought back into relationship. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a what? As of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Who has observed? He didn't have blemish or spot. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or seen in these last times for you. So we see the Passover pre-Exodus. We see the Passover post-Exodus. We see Christ, God's Passover lamb. And even the crucifixion timeline shows Christ, our Passover. Now, you could bring a lamb to Jerusalem. Or you could buy a lamb in Jerusalem. But what happens when you went to Jerusalem, the priest slew all the lambs. And they provided that to the families for the meal. Look at this. John chapter 19, verses 14 and 15. And it was the preparation of the Passover. What's the preparation? The slaughter of the lambs. The slaughter of the lambs. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. What was the whole congregation supposed to do? Kill the Passover lamb. And they cried out, away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. As they're preparing for their religious ceremony of Passover and killing the sacrificial lambs, they just condemned God's lamb to death. To death. It ended at the same time. It ended at the same time. You go down in John chapter 19, verses 30 through 37, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What are they preparing for? They're preparing for Passover. We see that in verse 14. The Jews therefore, because it was the what? Preparation. The deed had been done. The lamb had been slaughtered in the temple. But the lamb had been slaughtered on the cross. That the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. A high day was when the feast day and the Sabbath day aligned. That made it a high day. And besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Now one of the things given to the Jews in Exodus chapter 12 was that they weren't supposed to break the legs of the lamb. They were supposed to eat it in one piece. Says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water, and thee that saw it bear record. Who was at the foot of the cross this day? John was. John was. And his record is true. He says, I know what I saw, and I'm writing down what I saw. He says, he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were what? Done. That the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Psalm 34, verse 20. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced, which is Zechariah 12:10. We already know that Psalm 22, 23, and 24 talks about the crucifixion. In fact, it uses the words that Christ used on the cross. Anyone that was literate in the Old Testament should have seen this. The centurion saw it. He said, truly is this man was the who? The Son of God. The saints that were in the grave that resurrected saw it. They were waiting for the redemption. They were waiting from the bondage so they could be totally redeemed. But that had to be done through the cross. It had to be done through the cross. So lastly, as we close and we prepare for the Lord's Supper, there's four things about Christ's sacrifice that we need to understand. The first thing is, Christ's sacrifice is required by God. You're not getting to heaven any other way. You're not getting your sins forgiven by paying somebody money, or by lighting a bunch of candles, or by saying certain types of prayer, or by praying to some sort of saint. You're not going to do it. It's by God and God alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Christ's sacrifice is required by God for you to get to heaven. If you've never accepted His sacrifice on the cross for your sins, you are going to hell. You are going to spend. You are cut off. You are cut off from the relationship with God. And so the first thing is, it's required by God. The second thing is, the first Passover redeemed Israel from bondage in Egypt. Christ's sacrifice redeems us from sin's bondage. If we be dead with Christ, we'll be alive with Him. Amen? Romans chapter 6. Rejection of God's Christ's sacrifice cuts you off from God's love. It cuts you off from God's love. If they didn't do the Passover in Egypt, they were cut off. If you don't accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you and for your salvation, you're cut off. And John chapter 3 says you have the wrath of God abiding on you right now. Passover was supposed to be remembered once a year. Everybody was supposed to go to the place that God said, I want you to go. You know, yearly they go back to the place where they crucified Christ. And they remember their Passover, but it's the wrong one. They missed Christ. Christ is our sacrifice. He's our Passover who is sacrificed for us. And so it says, therefore, let us keep the feast. Remembrance is required. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Not with old leaven. We need to purge out the leaven in our lives. We're going to have a verse of invitation, and this is the time to confess your sins and get right with God. Because there's danger in taking this Lord's Supper unworthily. And it says, neither with leaven of malice or wickedness. If you got some aught with somebody here tonight, Don't take the Lord's Supper unless you're right with God and right with everybody else. Don't take it unworthily. Remembrance is required. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to share your word and to see it. Father, I just pray that help us, Lord, to understand the sacrifice you did on the cross for us. Lord, help us, Lord, to purge out the old leaven tonight. Father, help us, Lord, to be found worthy, Lord, of partaking in communion, the Lord's Supper. Lord, help us to remember this week especially of your love for us, of your grace, of your mercy, of your power, of your forgiveness, of all the things that we need for redemption, Lord. We thank you. Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would not be cut off, that they would accept your sacrifice on the cross for them, that you died on the cross for their sins, you were buried, you rose again the third day, and you sit on the right hand of the Father, offering forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who would call out on you. Lord, I ask, just be with us time and help us, Lord, to be right with you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm